All right, text message. As I sift through all these Seth is insane texts and try to find one related to the topic at hand.
What the hell's that all about?
I think it's a compliment. It's a compliment. Right. You made a lot of people laugh at that previous segment. Would y'all rather have Mixon miss four games in the beginning of the season or at the end of the season? That's an easy one, beginning.
I feel like that feels like an argument of some sort. Yeah. Like, yeah, I don't know. It's not as simple as an either or. Yeah.
Right. The rest of the text. I feel the Texans are just being extra cautious, wanting him to be healthy down the stretch. It's cool to feel that way. Nobody knows anything right now.
Right. Yeah. No, I don't fault them for being cautious. It's not like I'm not faulting the Texans for anything. They're just right. We don't know exactly what's going on. Certainly.
I don't think the texter's getting chippy or anything.
But it's still even addressing something that's not even actually a concern. Right. Like, I'm not. If caution is what's merited right now, then by all means, yes, sure. I'd rather have him now. I feel like he's answering a question that it feels like a rhetorical question because obviously the answer is yes.
Yeah.
So if you don't ask a rhetorical question like that and expect me to just accept it at face value.
Okay.
All right.
So my point with reading that text is the texter saying, this is what I feel the Texans are doing.
Yeah.
That's cool. There's nothing to base that on right now. The team has been very tight-lipped about what exactly is going on with Joe Mixon. The most speculation we've seen is with doctors talking about PRP injections and what that might mean. Like, we're all over the map right now, and you know who's very frustrated about this?
Who?
Adam Schefter.
Nobody knows, there are people that know, but nobody's saying what exactly happened. There is a question as to when or if Joe Mixon's going to play again this season. I can raise that question because nobody yet has answered it. Nobody's been willing to answer it. But there's been a lot of mystery about exactly what's wrong with him. The Texans had him lined up to appear at a football camp the first day. He didn't show up. He obviously hurt his ankle away from football. We don't know how or what that was. He hasn't been seen from all summer. Nobody's willing to say anything. They've been very, very tight-lipped about this. And I'll say it again. I think there's a question as to when and if he will play again this season. And if somebody wants to correct me and point out why, please let me know why that's wrong.
If there's nothing wrong, then it's pretty easy to just squash that bug immediately. And
nobody's told me he's fine. Nobody. Not one person.
Okay, so Schefter's basically just daring the Texans to correct a speculation that he's putting out there that, you know, when he says if Joe Mixon plays, the obvious implication there is that there's a chance he might not play this season.
This is where the difference between, I think, how football teams operate and how baseball teams operate comes in. I think in baseball and with the Astros, there's a frustration when you don't get information about somebody like Kyle Tucker or Yordan or whomever else it might be, partly because there have been either missed or like missed diagnoses or misdiagnoses, whatever, like not catching a break on an x-ray or whatever it might be with the Astros. But then also the gamesmanship isn't as big a part of it in baseball as it is in football. Like football, there's only 17 games and the running back is so important, et cetera, et cetera, that you just... There's something that the Texans could be playing it close to the vest simply because they don't want the Ravens, by the way, to know exactly what's going on with Joe Mixon. It would be really nice from the Texans' perspective if come week 5 of the regular season, they don't have a clue and they don't have a report about what's going on with Mixon, then so be it. So I don't fault the Texans for not putting information out there. I think likewise with Christian Harris was a little bit of a different situation because that, like, the gamesmanship doesn't apply as much there and it dragged on for so long. I think that it is frustrating though when you just flat out have no idea whether this is something that they think is no big deal, but it just needs a little extra time, or is it something that is very much and seriously threatening his entire season?
Yeah, and the reason Seth's bringing up the Ravens in week 5, Joe Mixon, for those who don't know, being on the NFI, the non-football injury reserve list going into the season means you've got to miss the first 4 games. Mandatory, he's got to miss the first 4 games. The first time Joe Mixon could get on the field would be week 5 in Baltimore, the week before the bye week for the Texans, which gets interesting because then the bye week being the week after the Ravens, you know, if it is an injury he could come back from, I could see them just shutting him down for the first 5 weeks because you almost get an extra week because of that bye week in week six. I'm probably way ahead of myself. We don't know if this is a season-ending thing or if it's just them being super cautious and saying, look, Joe, rest those first 4 weeks. He might be ready to go or close to it, but they want to just take it easy. And I wonder, too, Seth, if their ability to run the football in the preseason, granted, in very sparse glimpses of it against other teams' ones and probably against some vanilla defenses, but I would say they ran the ball pretty well during the preseason, yeah. But certainly by the standards we expected. I wonder if that factors in at all, like if Mixon, if they needed him to come back, that he could have come back, but they feel they can get through the first 4 weeks with a backfield of Nick Chubb, Woody Marks, and Damian Pierce running behind this offensive line?
Yeah, that's do they feel like they can practice the utmost caution at this point because they feel like it's going to be better?
They feel okay.
And yeah. That's an interesting dynamic there. I don't think they did that much in the preseason that you can feel like, oh yeah, we're 100% okay. I'm optimistic. I'm more optimistic right now about Nick Chubb than I was before, but I still have questions.
Sure.
And same with Damian Pierce. Woody Marks, I'm really excited about, but he's a rookie. So, and the offensive line, I feel like they'll be better this year, but I still don't know what their ceiling is or just how good they could be.
Yep.
So, everything right now and the lack of information and everything else just makes me, maybe I'm just naturally pessimistic in this regard. I'm not. Right this moment, I'm not optimistic that we see Joe Mixon in week five.
Yeah.
But that's not an informed opinion of mine. That's just my feel for the matter.
As best you can read the tea leaves right now.
Yeah.
You know. Now, Schefter did have a report earlier this morning about the Texans, and he said this, a name to watch today, Texans left tackle Cam Robinson, who the team has discussed trading per sources. Rookie Ariante Ursary has impressed this summer and looks ready to man the Houston Texans left tackle position. That I could see, and if they're going to trade Cam Robinson for purposes of kind of, you know, alleviating a logjam with the roster, it's got to happen in the next 7 hours because 3 o'clock today is the deadline to get down to 53. What would be an acceptable trade for Cam Robinson? Mid-round
probably,
pick?
Yeah, mid-round pick of some
fourth
sort.
Fourth or a fifth, something like that?
Yeah, and I mean, it wasn't like he was one of the more highly sought-after offensive tackles in the league. I can't think of any the Chargers. Chargers lost
Slater.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's the one notable thing that pops into my mind because that's where you get the most. And it might be one of those things where they might have had a chat with Cam and said, hey, you know, we'll float this out there and maybe sometime between now and the trade deadline something comes of it, but be a good soldier and let's just keep going on. But yeah, we'll if the opportunity isn't there, we'll give you an opportunity somewhere else.
He's set to make $12 million, Cam Robinson is. I could see the scenario where they trade him for a pick and they've got to pick up some of the tab on the $12 million the Texans do. And so in essence, you know, they got to pay $3 million of it, and in essence they're kind of buying a fifth round pick, that sort of thing.
Yeah. You know what, the other Cam that's out there is Cam Akers, because Cam Akers was released by the Saints, and I saw some people mention that, hey, maybe the Texans do that. I'd be surprised just because of this very specific reason. One of the reasons that Cam Akers wasn't really a fit in Los Angeles anymore was because they transitioned from being an outside zone run-based team to more of a gap scheme, and Cam Akers doesn't fit that scheme as well. And that's exactly what the Texans have done this year with an offensive coordinator who came from the Rams. That I don't think they probably look at Cam as good a fit for what Nick Caley is doing than what it was with Bobby Slowick.
Yeah, he was released by the Saints yesterday, I think it was, right? Cam Akers? Yeah. I think he was on the Saints. So, yeah he's out there. the texter who you got a little sideways with says, I'll ask all the rhetorical questions, Seth. That's funny. Brent in the Heights points out Falcons dealing with injuries at tackle as well. There's some teams that are in need of a tackle like Cam Robinson. Cam Robinson would be a suitable replacement or a suitable solution for some of these teams right now.
Yeah, and Cam's an interesting one because he's been he's been an average level starter. He's had his best games against the Texans historically, which annoys me. So I feel like I had to fight against my own bias a little bit because he's actually had some good games against the Texans, but those aren't He's been an average offensive tackle, which is a valuable commodity, especially when you've got injuries. Yeah. But he gets traded to Minnesota last year, and that wasn't – I don't think it was a great fit for him. So he ended up having maybe some of the worst film he's had as he's entering free agency. The questions will be, I think there's other teams out there that probably look at him the same way the Texans did, which is, if we need him to be our stopgap or if we need him to start for us, we could certainly do worse. It's just how much of the salary are you willing to pay, Houston Texans? And that's where some of the fun little negotiations get into it.
Figgy had this in the mixtape, I think, last week, and I wanted to address this with Seth. He had a list of the craziest college courses at all the FBS schools in the state of Texas. Which of these would you be most likely to take as a course? We'll hear from Will Anderson at the top of the hour. He was on the Greenlight podcast. We'll do all of that as we roll on here on a Tuesday on Payne and Pendergast. A quick reminder, too, our first college football watch party is this Saturday at Boomer Jackson. Katie, that's 1110 Grand West Boulevard. Party starts at 11. The doors are opening early, though, 10:30 a.m. I asked the manager when I was out there last Friday. The doors open at 10:30. Watch the games. Have some ice-cold flight by Yingling. We've got a $4 draft special going on. And root for your favorite team. We'll have some great prizes that we're giving away from Yingling as well. That's Boomer Jackson Katie on Saturday. Doors open at 10:30 a.m.